Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Brooks, we just had as many Christmas lights as you can put on a radio without blowing a fuse. And they're one of the biggest tourist attractions. You've been looking at the forecast for tourism in Duluth. What's it look like for 2021?
Yeah, it's going to be a little better than 2020, though it's still going to take several years to fully rebound. Next year, the mayor expects to collect about 25% less in tourism taxes than in previous years, when we've seen as high as $12 million come in. So that means that several organizations aren't going to get funding or are going to see their funding cut from that pool of money that comes from taxes on bars, restaurants, and hotels. It will be a little better. The 25% cut is a conservative estimate, especially as we, await a possible rollout of the vaccine. And Spirit Mountain, notably, will be getting more money, about $500,000 from this pool of tourism tax. So Visit Duluth, the Area Tourism Bureau says, we're not expected to reach pre-pandemic levels until 2024. But again, as the pandemic fades, we're hoping to see more people safely come to the area.
Well, one specific tourist spot in the Northland is Voyageurs National Park, and the future there is looking dark, and that's good news, I understand.
Absolutely, it is. The Minnesota's only national park was certified this week as an International Dark Sky Park, and that is at this point, fairly rare certification. Just 135 other locations around the world have been certified by a global nonprofit over the past two decades. Darkness as a resource is important for ecology, for preserving a cultural resource. Up to 80% of the U.S. population can't see the Milky Way from where they live. So it has no real legal authority, but it does ensure that Voyageurs will work to protect the darkness, keep lights to a certain standard, and educate the public on, why it's so important to see the sky.
Well, Danny, on the Wisconsin side, you've been looking at a report by the Governor's Task Force on Climate Change. What's it say?
Yeah, the report released this week, it includes 55 recommendations. Not all of them were completely endorsed by the task force, but there are ways to adapt and reduce the effects of climate change across 9 focus areas, and that includes energy and transportation and agriculture. And some of the notable things that the task force recommended was an Office of Environmental Justice. And it also recommended creating jobs programs as we're all looking for another COVID-19 stimulus package. They're calling on clean energy to be a part of that and make that investment to help stimulate the economic recovery in Wisconsin.
All right. Well, also on the environmental front, there was a wolf hunt slated for the state. Or there isn't? Or which is it?
So when Wisconsin's wolf hunt is in effect, and that's basically when the gray wolf is not listed as a federally endangered species, and that season runs from the first Saturday in November through, I believe, it's the last Saturday in February. And so that means that, with the announcement earlier this fall that the gray wolf would be delisted and federal protections would be removed, as soon as January, that potentially we could have seen a wolf hunt next month. But DNR officials decided that they were going to hold off on resuming a wolf hunt. Part of the reason for that is that the DNR wants to take more time to develop input from people on a harvest quota when they do resume a wolf hunt, and to gather public input on a wolf management plan.
Okay. Well, still on the environment, Brooks, what's the latest on Enbridge's Line 3? Is it on or off?
It is, for the most part, on. Construction has begun and has been ongoing for about a week now. There are about 2,000 workers along the 340-mile route crossing Minnesota. I visited a protest site near the Mississippi River in rural Aiken County earlier this week, and there are just about a dozen folks set up there trying to put themselves in the way of the pipeline as trees are cleared and workers prep the area to lay the pipe, which will replace the aging Line 3 that has been in the ground for about 50 years. and bring oil from Alberta to the Superior Terminal. Lawsuits are still ongoing, and opponents are going to seek a stay in construction while permit challenges are considered, and protest action is expected to continue right up until a decision is made, or work is stopped, or it is completed.
And I'm sure this isn't the last update you'll be giving us. We can't get away without a COVID update. The vaccine is almost ready. How's it going to work?
Yeah, that's the big question, I think, for the end of the year and well into 2021. Minnesota expects to get 183,000 shots delivered by the end of the year. And they're prioritizing healthcare workers and long-term care residents. That's a population of about 500,000 people, however. So the state's trying to winnow down that list to those at highest risk of infection and death.
And Danny, on the Wisconsin side?
In Wisconsin, we're expected to receive about a third of what Minnesota is going to get. We're slated to receive 65,000 doses of the coronavirus vaccines made by Pfizer and Moderna. Those vaccines were reviewed Thursday by the Food and Drug Administration, and Wisconsin is also prioritizing healthcare workers and long-term care facilities and essential workers as part of its state vaccination plan. But like Brooks was saying, you know, Wisconsin has more than 450,000 healthcare workers alone. So it's going to be months before, you know, there's wide distribution of the vaccine. Although all of the state's seven healthcare emergency readiness coalitions in Wisconsin are going to receive a distribution of that vaccine, and that would include an area of northwestern Wisconsin.
Well, it can't come soon enough, but when it does come, I'm sure we'll be more than ready. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks so much, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport, and be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. I do. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you now with more of the music of One Less Guess, Deja Vu, from their album, Monochrome. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.